Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and blessings, blessed souls. We might have a glitch, so we're going to turn down the music and we're going to try to call in once again. Let's try again. Oi. Hello, hello, we're trying to call in. Baton, this could be a major glitch. And we just heard, in the field the king will be, and we were going to go into the holy man, but right now we're trying to figure out if, in fact, we're broadcasting. We seem to be broadcasting. But if someone can send me a message through Facebook, we'll see if we are, in fact, broadcasting. And if we're not, we will have to do a repeat of this show, hopefully. Blessings and greetings. Greetings and blessings, everyone. We're alive, and hopefully we're staying alive to the point where your ears can, in fact, hear what we have to say. Again, we are... This is Soul Class number 302. In the quantum field of crowns. And you might ask yourself, what does this have to do with anything that Soul Class is connected to? Well, blessed souls, we hope to embark on a new series today. We've started some series and we've put them on hold and we go to new ones, and eventually, hopefully, with the blessings of the Most High, we can do all of these shows each day, a different series. But in the meantime, today's series is hopefully going to be rooted and sourced with one of the most amazing teachings of Hasidus Chabad called I Am Base. This was a collection of Hasidic discourses, Maimonim, from the Rebbe Rishab, the fifth Rebbe of Chabad. And we're broadcasting now here on Turtle Island, a.k.a. the USA. And meanwhile, before we start the show, let's please take the moment to pray for the awakening of all human souls to embrace the awareness of the universal redemption, which will be a period of no hatred, no jealousy, and no forms of competition which undermine the human family experience. With that being said, we're just going to see if, in fact, we can get some sort of feedback from someone on Facebook for those who are interested in turning on and listening into the show. And we seem to be having trouble connecting with Facebook. Oh, it's one of those days, blessed souls, where everything... We're having a Murphy's Law type of day. Let's see if we can reconnect here. Okay, I guess we are alive. And we're staying alive in Torah Chaim, instructions of life, Torah Chesed, instructions of kindness, Torah Rachamim. We've already introduced the nature of the show. And before we go further into the show, I just want to mention today happens to be an auspicious day because it happens to be the day of ascension to the next level of life. Prelim Mei Parich, who passed on the 11th day of Av, I think it was about 149 years ago, and Rev Hillel was a chassid of three rebbes of Chabad, all direct descendants of King David and Solomon, a teacher who was dedicated to trying to open up and educate other blessed souls, like you and you blessed souls, but the whole idea of the panimiyut ha'ozen, the inner dimension of your ear, which is a spiritual power, koich ruchnius, that's enclosed in your nechomer, in the actual design of your physical ear. And that power of the panimius ozen, that inner dimension of ear, is to assist you and empower you and enable you to understand between good and evil and between truth and that which is not truth. With that being said, blessed souls, we want to talk about the truth of, just for a moment, to we talked about in previous shows, previous programs, about promoting a book, The Joy of Juicing. This is now it's in its third edition by Dr. Gary Null. And we want to talk a little bit about antioxidant superstars. Wow, we usually associate superstars with athletes, or maybe even politicians, or movie actresses, or movie actors. And Dr. Null wants you to know by page 9 of his book that there are several antioxidants which stand out for their exceptional healing power. And these antioxidants can be obtained through eating a variety of foods. You also can take supplements, and he advises anyone to speak with his or her doctor before taking any nutrients, or supplements, I should say. Now, the first antioxidant superstar that Dr. Null wants us to be aware about is called the alpha lipoic acid. And you can find this in green leafy vegetables. And it's also very important in terms of regulating metabolism. So that's what we're going to pull from Dr. Gary Null's Joy of Juicing, which, by the way, he made a tremendous DVD, which you can see live, or I should say for free, on YouTube. Just type in The Joy of Juicing by Dr. Gary Null, N-U-L-L. And it's more than an hour, but it will give you more than a lifetime's worth of advice on how to integrate more and more juicing into your, hopefully, steadily growing, more healthy lifestyle. And speaking about a healthy drink, I found a nice alternative to the more heavily caffeinated drink of coffee, based on some advice that Dr. Null and someone else had advised me on, to take some cocoa, just cocoa, without the sugar, without the white processed sugar, add some honey, and give it a little koyach, a little power, add a little organic coconut oil, then to add turmeric, which has an anti-inflammatory healing power to it, and to accentuate the power of the turmeric, as Dr. Null brought out, that the use of black pepper can actually strengthen the power, the potency of turmeric, which is an anti-inflammatory agent, by 200 times. And that black pepper, good old plain and simple black pepper, gives it a kick. And I'm drinking it right now, L'chaim. And that's today's health tips, because we believe here at Soul Class, we're not just talking about Torah from the scripture and from the written and oral Torah traditions. We're talking about instructions on how to hopefully ramp up the health of those who are listening in. And hopefully we can exemplify that good health as well. I know this past July 4th weekend, usually I get a summer cold, and this year, Kanahara, Baruch Hashem, blessed and most, I didn't. I think that's due to the fact that I've increased my juicing and eating of more vegetables and fruits and cutting down on the carbs. I'm not carb-free yet, but who knows? We'll see. So let's go into the meat of today's presentation, blessed souls. Iron base, plucking generously from it, blessed souls. You know, we're broadcasting live from Crown Heights, but let's take out the heights and let's try to focus on the idea of a crown. Blessed souls, a crown. What do you do with it? You wear it. You could hang it. You can display it. You can acquire it. However, does a crown only apply to a king or a queen? Or for someone who wants to dress up as a king or a queen? Or a prince or a princess for a costume party? Well, according to Torah, there actually are four general crowns. There is the crown of Torah, Keser Torah. There is the crown of Kohuna, priesthood, i.e. devout servitude. Then there is, and we won't be surprised by this, there is the crown of kingship, Keser Malchut. Then there is the crown of a good name, Keser Shem Tov, which is reckoned as a dimension of crown, a Keser, which rises above the crowns of Torah, Kohuna, priesthood, devout and earnest servitude, and Malchus, kingship. When considering the Torah concept of crown, Keser, we are instructed that there are lines or dimensions relating to three general emotional attributes which are constantly growing and expanding within this expanding universe. There is the attribute of kindness, love, chesed. There is the attribute of severity, might, in Hebrew known as gevurah. Then there is the attribute of beauty, synthesis of kindness and severity, chesed and gevurah. This beauty, teferis, within creation's ever-expanding emotional capacities, and also existing within the olam katan, the mini world of a human being, as we mentioned before, is called teferis. However, blessed souls, we want to take a step back to reevaluate the Torah subject of crown, Keser, in a more general sense. In a more general sense, Keser, crown, relates to the concept of patience, with a sort of disengagement from the space one is thinking about, and rather to emphasize and consider what will eventually be dispersed, which we of Israel pray for the dispersion of a specified type of Ruach HaKodesh, divine inspiration, which will elevate and encompass and permeate the entire human family experience, and whence imbued and infused and encompassed by this Ruach HaKodesh, divine inspiration, the entire family experience, your humble Torah cyberspace activist as well included, that we should all stop, we should cease thinking thoughts relating to hatred, jealousy, and competition, which undermines the quality and quantity of life upon this blessed earth. Within the general sense we are trying to internalize as well is a dimension of Keser relating to silence, shtika, a type of silence which seeks to access consciousness towering above normally accessible knowledge and comprehension. Another aspect of Keser is the Keser manifestation of patience, Hamtana, actualizes as well the ability to restrain the most nimble to most static of minds to analyze and review thoughtfully a concept one encounters during one's personal life journey. Oh yeah, I forgot to mention, blessed souls, Keser, crown, also relates to tikva, hope. So if we desire to review particularized dimensions of Keser, as we mentioned at the beginning of this brief presentation today, the Keser of Torah, the crown of Torah, relating to Torah learning, also related to Torah teaching. There's the crown of Kohuna, the crown of priesthood, servitude, earnest efforts to serve the Most High and be in communion with other human beings. The Keser of Malchus, the crown of kingship, sovereignty. And last but not least, because this level of Keser Shem Tov, the crown of a good name, actually encompasses the other three crowns. And if we can bring out into our revealed consciousness and intertwine the four crowns with the three dimensions of Keser, as we just talked about, meaning Keser relates to patience, quietude, and hope, we can intellectually pollinate these four types of crowns with the general sense qualities of Keser, again, of patience, silence, and hope. And we should not be surprised, our interest will be elevated into further thoughts about how Torah conceptualizes the concept of Keser, or crown. We now want to conclude this humble presentation regarding Keser as it relates to a vessel associated with being placed upon a human head that towers over all other bodily garments physically, and as well directly is engaged in influencing the one wearing the crown. For the one wearing the crown of Torah, the crown of Kohuna, of priesthood, of servitude, earnest actions to improve the creation, the crown of kingship, of sovereignty, and the crown of a good name, by wearing one of these crowns, hopefully his or her soul garments of thought, speech, and action will be elevated. This measurement of Keser encompasses one's microcosmic world of intellect, which is fully actualized when crowning, acknowledging to other human souls. It is worthwhile for all of us to follow the guidance of righteous human beings to improve the quality of life upon the Ein Sofs, the infinite creators, maybe blessed earth, facilitating the wondrous spiritual, and accessing, not just facilitating, but actualizing the wondrous spiritual and material bounty, which is accessible, hopefully speed in our days, for the entire human family experience. I also, as part of my conclusion, wish to share with you, blessed souls, a teaching that was sent to me via email by Professor Ross Barnard of Australia. Now, who embodies, within a Torah perspective, within Israelite Torah values, who embodies this type of crown of Torah, crown of priesthood, servitude, earnestness to be in communion with the Most High and other human beings? And who is this crown of kingship, had sovereignty over a nation, and also had the crown of a good name? That none other than the mighty Levi prophet Moshe, Moses. So I'm plucking out now from something that Professor Barnard had forwarded me. Moses was a patient man, no matter how often his patience was tried. And he was tried quite often during the 40 years that he led the nation of Israelites out of the desert, and even before, in the desert, I should say, because he's not bringing them into the land of Israel. The next leader of Israel, Yahushua ben Nun, did. But the general nature of Moshe Moses was that he would respond softly and moderately. There was one incident, however, at the very end of his leadership of the nation of Israel, he responded very sharply, as depicted in the book of Numbers, chapter 32, verse 6, quote, "Would you have your brothers go to war while you remain here?" That was referring to the 2.5 tribes of Manasseh, Reuben, and Gad, who wanted to stay on the east side of the Jordan River while the preparations were being made by the 12 tribes of Israel to conquer the land of Canaan and upgrade it to the land of Israel. Now, such angry rebuke seems out of character for Moshe, Moses. Why didn't he deal with them in his customary calm manner? Furthermore, the Torah and the Talmud exhort us to judge others favorably and give them the benefit of the doubt. Why then didn't Moshe consider the possibility that they had every intention of joining the battle for the conquest of the Holy Land before returning to settle on the other side of the Jordan River? There are commentators who have explained that Moses always had extreme consideration for others because he was sensitive to their state of mind. When he saw people do wrong, as the world would call it today, sin, he understood that it is difficult to judge without knowing all the particulars of their situations. Perhaps they faced extraordinary temptations that they found impossible to resist. Perhaps there were in fact mitigating circumstances that justify their actions. And so he would always speak to them gently and patiently, drawing them out and showing them the error of their ways. But what if these sins or wrongdoings would affect the spiritual well-being of others? In that case, there was no time for gentleness and delicate conversations. Drastic actions need to be taken right away, and that's exactly what Moses did. Moses was afraid that the request would undermine the morale of the people and cause them to have second thoughts about fighting for the land, a repetition of the sin of the spies 40 years earlier. You can learn more about that if you review the book of Numbers, Sefer Bamidbar. Therefore, Moshe immediately chastised them in order to nip any possible sedition in the bud. In our own lives, we should try to recognize that everything we say or do affects others. Whether they are family, friends, or associates in the workplace, a disdainful facial expression, a caustic remark, a sharp criticism, any of these can be devastating. No matter how confident we feel in our judgments, we should always stop to consider the effect on others. Perhaps the damage is simply not worth it. That being said, that in the book of Numbers, Sefer Bamidbar, there is mentioning of 42 journeys of the Israelites, and Professor Barnard, who is a scientist, found that it is a fascinating mathematical figure that 42 is the natural number that immediately follows 41 and directly precedes 43. It has a number of fascinating mathematical features. It is the atomic number of molybdenum, if I'm pronouncing it right, you would spell it molybdenum, and figures in the Kabbalistic literature. The number 42 also received considerable attention in popular culture as a result of its central appearance in Douglas Adams' book, The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, which I myself did not read. In his book, the number 42 was, quote, the answer to the ultimate question of life, the universe and everything. With that being said, blessed souls, we want to remind everyone the message of Torah transcends time. And we're still quoting from the email that I got from Professor Barnard. This transcendence is striking when it concerns the Exodus, when the nation of Israel left Egypt, about which the Jew specifically and generally, this is something which can be taken to heart by every person on the earth, otherwise known as the B'nai Noach, the blessed children of Noah, where every human being is explicitly obliged to see if he himself or she herself had traveled out of Egypt that very day, had gone out of the limitations of their previous day of existence. The 42 journeys have a special, perpetual significance. There are many Egypts, there are many limitations which each and every individual who is born upon this earth must pass through. At one level, it may be the confinement and distractions of the secular world, which seems to hold one captive. Another way, it may be the narrow scope of the human mind. Even if one passes this stage, one always has to strain towards new plateaus of expansiveness. With that being said, we also want to point out this salient teaching that Professor Barnard shared with me that I want to share with you, blessed souls. In the words of the Kotzke Rebbe, a person who is near and dear to my heart, because the day of his ascension to the next level of life happened to be the very day that my son, my Ben Yachid, Yosef Yitzhak Goodman, was born on Yud Elo. And the Kotzke Rebbe said this, quote, people are accustomed to look at the heavens and to wonder what happens there. It would be better if they would look within themselves to see what happens there. One can draw a parallel to these words and say, quote, people are accustomed to look at history and wondered at what happened then. It would be better if they would look within themselves and see what is happening here and now. And that blessed soul is a primary fundamental teaching of Torah, whether it be historical teachings, both ancient and recent, that they should be not lost on just the chronological presentation of events. For everything that we experience in this world at one level or another is connected to Abraham's situation. Every person in this world is a stranger in a strange land because we are all in exile from the true condition of the human family experience. And every person should try to use his or her efforts and his or her own means. Sometimes it might take a long battle in a personal wilderness to find a path to an inner promised land, as well as aspiring to take the physical journey across the Jordan to Eretz Israel, which spiritually speaking, as well as physically speaking, is a land flowing with meditations and positive vibrations in this generation for each and every of all the nations, because eventually we hope to see speedily in our days the culmination of prophecy, as the prophet Isaiah Yeshayahu writes, or as instructed by the Most High, that my house is a house for Lord peoples, a house of prayer. And hopefully this house will be manifested speedily in our days for all peoples, in a spirit of Ahav Echad, one love, B'bori Echad, in one creator, B'darchi Sholom, in a peaceful way, D'archi Noam, in a pleasant way, Bezer Hashem Yisbrek, to be continued, the help of the Most High. Let us say this, blessed souls, and let's assert this quite forcefully, and hopefully in the most gentle fashion, that each and every one of you who are listening in or will listening in the future, Bezer Hashem, in the archive version, you're good because Ateva Tov Lehetiv, that is the nature of the good to do good, and the good that the Creator did was to create you, blessed souls, to try to find your path to go out of your personal Egypt, to go to your promised land, to help others along the way. You have a divine image which will help you get off in scrimmage, that the Tzelem Elohim is no dream. We're going to end the show by asking everyone to try to upgrade, and I speak of myself before anyone else, because I struggled with my emunah yesterday, my faith, and I was told by one of my teachers that in the faith, in the emunah of a human being, is embedded all the blessings a person needs physically and spiritually. We end off with brothers in arms, spirit and soul, from jolly old England, David Dome, will help us get back home to realize you can put your light on by putting your emunah, your faith in the Most High, and when you hear the name Hashem, blessed souls, that is the name referring to the Most High. Put your light on and let it shine on, and hopefully you should be blessed and meriting to enlighten the pathway of a slumbering soul, to help them put their light on and help another person wake up as well. Take care, everyone. Two.
Let's go.